should be here again for the preaching of the gospel. Great thing to receive, didn't it? Saved and going to heaven. All our sins taken away. Sure, that one day we'll walk the golden street. We'll go through the pearly gate. And we'll meet with loved ones who've gone on before. What a thought tonight. Just to know that we're saved and we're going to heaven. I want to read one verse with you tonight in the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah in chapter 12. It's in the middle of your Bible. Ezekiel after Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 12. I want to read verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? I'm thinking on the question at the end of the verse. How will you do? How will we do in the swelling of Jordan? Names and places in the Bible mean something to us. If I say to you, Calvary, right away, you're miles away to the place where the Saviour died. If I say Bethlehem, right away, you're away to the place where he was born. If I mention Martha and Mary, you're at that house in Bethany, aren't you? Well, here's a place called Jordan. I love Jordan. I think of the day when the heavens were open. The Savior was in the Jordan, down by the Jordan. And his father, his voice was heard. This is my beloved Son, in whom I find all my delight. What a thought today. There was one man lived in this world for 33 and a half years without sin. And I say tonight that even he could have sinned. If he could have sinned, he could never be my Savior. He had no breaking point. He never lost his temper. He never once had to say, sorry. He was a perfect man as he moved through the scene of life. A man like you and me and yet different. A man who sin was not simple. A man who, for 33 and a half years, never made one mistake, never put one foot wrong, never had to recall one word. Perfect in everything he did. I notice here on the platform it's the words of preach Christ. That's who we're talking about tonight. Reminds me of what my brother told me when he arrived in Labrador a 40 years ago. An old man by the name of Herb Harris, a godly old man, took him aside. He says, Alec, I've never heard you preach. I want to tell you, while you're in Labrador, you'll preach Christ and nothing less. You'll preach Christ and nothing more. You'll preach Christ and nothing else. Now that was sound advice for a young man who's gone out to preach the gospel. If I could only tell him, and I know him, the man who walks with us and talks with us and is with us in sorrow and in trial, he's with us in the dark days in the bright days. And that's the man that went to Calvary and died in order that you and I might have a hope beyond the grave. A hope in a hopeless world. Outside tonight is seething with sin and corruption and darkness is all around. You and I have this blessed hope. It is brighter as the day goes by. The day is coming. The day before the Lord's day has finished, we will be in his presence. And that forevermore. How will you do in the swelling of Jordan? But let me make it clear at the very outside, Jordan speaks of death. And I know we don't like speaking about death. But the Bible is so clear that we must all each die. And there's no escape. One day you and I will come to Jordan and it will determine on how I have lived for Christ and trusted him as my Saviour. When I come to Jordan, storm of my house, that will count. Tim Riker has said, on Jordan's stormy bank I stand and view the distant shore. The angels whisper, come away. It is better, better, far better than before. So the very outside, let us remember, we'll all come to Jordan someday. We'll all stand there in the bank. A great brother and friend, Gordon Monroe, when he was dying, he said this. It's Jordan, and there's not a drop of water. There was no storm for Gordon. The path across was clear. He's about to go on the other side. He says there's not a drop of water. How will we do in the swelling of Jordan? I always like to think of the solemnity of the river. I want to tell you there's no way across. When you come to Jordan, you're stranded, you can't go any further. The waters are too deep. The river flows too fast. And there's no way over. And the children of Israel one day, they came to Jordan. What a sight it must have been. Jordan was overflowed its banks. And when it overflows its banks, it takes everything with it. Know where it flows to? Strange enough, it starts, the source is at a place called Adam. That's interesting. It flows about 100 miles. And it stops, it flows into the Dead Sea. That's interesting. For the Dead Sea speaks of hell, where there's no return. When it's too late, and all is over, the voice of God no longer heard, the gospel no longer preached, the preacher silent, it's the end. But it started at a place called Adam. Is that where it all started? What a place paradise must have been. Must have been beautiful. Now, hello, Shirley. Nothing better to go in the car and to the country and see God's fair creation. We spent some time there up in Ireland and it was absolutely wonderful. The creation of God. The hills and the rivers. The sky above us. overseas. He did the stars also. Yeah. What a God you have tonight. He made the stars also. I see the sun is under a canopy of heaven and he's looking up. He looks there in the clear sky and he sees the stars. He says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And remember, the psalmist was looking with a naked eye. And then today, with the powerful telescopes, to look up. And they tell us one day there's so many billion and they can't count them. And the next day they get a more powerful one and they tell us there's even more. And the Bible tells us, he made the stars also. What a God we have today. No, if you don't find them before you come to Jordan, it'll be too late. It'll be too late. Israel were driven into Canaan, but Jordan stood between them. I'm sure tonight that every sensible, true-thinking man was to be in heaven. No one would ever think of saying they want to be in hell. Why do you say it right? There's only one way. And there's no shortcuts. And if you miss God's salvation, you miss the greatest thing in life. In fact, let me say, you miss the only thing in life. I care not what you are or who you are. You can have the wealth of Carnegie. It matters not. When you come to Jordan, all will be red there. And you stand there on Jordan's bank. And it will determine what you've done with Christ. If you're going to reach the other side. So when they come to Jordan, they have to depend upon God. All right? The river flowed so fast, and twice in a year overflowed its banks, and it would take everything with it. You never knew who was going to go next. You know that language, don't you? You hear about so-and-so? You know, looking back, I have more friends in heaven than I have on earth. I know more people in heaven than what I know now down here. It overflows at banks continually. And at the time of the barley harvest, it takes all the sheaves from it. And all flow into the Red Sea, the solemnity of the River Jordan. We spoke about its source. A place called Adam runs into the Red Sea. But what you need to think of is the swelling of Jordan. The swelling of Jordan. What a sight it must have been to watch it overflow its banks. To watch its mighty waters running down. It takes everything with it. And death is on every hand. Is that not typical of the scene that we live in? The swelling of the opera. I want you to think tonight that there's salvation in the river. This is what we're going to come to. There's salvation at the river. Joshua was told one day, move for this great people, the people of God. Go down to the Jordan and cross the Jordan. But we can't cross the Jordan. It's too deep. The waters are too stormy. So take the ark with you. The ark of the covenant. The lovely vessel of the ark, you know. It's a piece of Christ. It was made of acacia wood, that hard wood, that the worms could not eat. And it could never be corrupted. It was overlaid with fine gold. Hollywood speaks to me of the humanity of our blessed Lord. Verily God, truly human. Come into this scene of time in order that sinners might be saved. It is overlaid with pure gold. I think of his God today. I think of his deity. Oh, we carry devotion. I and the Father are one, he said. I come forth from the Father, again I leave the world and go back to the Father. What language? Language that only the Christian understands. I said, Joshua, you'll follow that. You'll follow Christ. Don't you think? Following Jesus every day by day? Nothing can harm me when he leaves the way. Darkness or sunshine, what do you have before? Jesus, your Savior, is our all in all. Eh? Are you following the ark? You know, over the ark, there was a cloth of blue. Oh, I think that's lovely. A cloth of blue. The only vessel that was covered with a cloth of blue. Speaking to me again, speak to me again of the manhood of our blessed Lord. What a man he was. He was as pure when he went back to heaven as he was when he left heaven. He was never tainted with this world's sin. On Jordan's bank he stands, impressive, flawless sight, obedient to the Lord's demands, the Father's chief delight. The great John Roll I hear say, he's altogether lovely. There is nothing lovely that is not found in him. There is nothing found in him that is not lovely. So that's stuck to the great part of my memory. The Queen of Sheba, she heard about Solomon, she heard about his fame, she came to visit him, she saw his standing, she saw the steps up to his palace, she saw the pillars, she saw his servants as he served him. She looked and she saw the whole place was paved with gold. You know what she said? It was a true report that I heard of my own country only. The half was never told. My brother and my sister, we're for a man tonight. And no matter how much you get to know him, or get to know about him, the half will never be told. Now, as you join this morning, you may think it's simple. And your theology may be a wee beyond it. I was thinking this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Okay? What a truth, brother. What a depth. Great Harry Bell. Some of us had the pleasure of meeting him and being with him. Remember Harry, some years ago? What a monument. You can read his Bible upside down. He was saturated in the Word of God. He's on his deathbed. A friend says to him, Harry, what's the biggest truth you've discovered in your Bible? Listen to his reply. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest. That Jesus loves me. Don't let us get too big. Don't let us dig too deep. On the surface there's that that would thrill our very being from now until eternity. The love of the Lord Jesus. And across that ark there was a cloth of blue. But wait, Joshua, you'll tell the people, don't go too near the ark. Make sure there's a distance between you and the ark. Well, maybe there was a day, you know, when we were down too near. Maybe it's getting a wee bit too familiar. Maybe in our prayer we forget who we're addressing. Oh, man, let's remember there's a distance between the ark and the people. We move towards the Jordan. It's overflowed its banks. What do we do? Those that bear the ark step into the river Jordan and is divided. And there's a way over to Canaan. And those who know the Lord as their Savior move over to the other side. The Bible talks about Canaan as a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's all going to change someday. It's not always going to be like this. We're going to a fairer land. You know, I'm hoping that on Tuesday I'll be going up in Florida in the sunshine. I'm looking forward to the sunshine. But you know, there's a land that's fairer than day. There's a land that we can't describe. Says there's no night there. Many a man and woman today, they're dreading the night. As the darkness falls, they're dreading. I found there's no night in heaven. And there's no sorrow there. And there's no sadness there. And there's no sickness there. And there's no death there. And the Bible's hammering it against you. Where Jesus is, he's coming here. And one day we're going to walk that golden street. Aye, salvation up the river. But let me remind you tonight, there's a Savior up the river. Remember John's Gospel, the start of John's Gospel? John stands one day and he points to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says. Behold, look, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. My friend, tonight I want to tell you, there's a Savior at the river. There's one at the river with his arms stretched open and he's saying to you, come, and he said to you, come. And no matter how fierce the storm is, when you and I get there, he'll be there. Then there's a sinner at the river. I'm thinking of a man called Naaman. I've looked at many Naaman. There are men in life that you love to meet, and but there are great men that, as far as the world is concerned, that were men, some of them. And when we look at the Bible, there are men out there, and you know, I'm a great affection for Peter. Maybe because I'm a wee bit quite like him, I don't know, but I just think that he's a great man to have by your side. So you feel confident with him. John the Baptist, he looks at the Saviour. Know what he said? Whose shoe latchets I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. I remember John was the greatest man born from women. And Naaman was a great man. He says he was great, mighty, honourable for a man. If only we didn't have those buts in our Bible, it'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? But he was a leper. I see him one day looking at his hand and there's a spot there. I wonder, could be leprosy, you know? And he goes along to the priest. He shows the priest it. And I said, I'm sorry, my man. It's leprosy.
What a shock, eh? What a shock.
No cure for that, Rasheela. No cure.
Great, mighty, honorable, every medal across his chest, every stripe on his arms, one thing of faith in his blessing.
He was a leper.
You all met men who are proper gentlemen. Men who are delighted to talk to.
But they're sinners. Sinners.
It was a late Robert Scott that said, every gentleman is not a Christian.
But every Christian ought to be a gentleman.
But neither thing is sexy, isn't it? And I've seen even with everything in this world he'd given him. A bank book, a bank balance that was loaded. A friend to the king. Everything he wanted.
With a leper. A leper.
One day he had a story. When he's out there with his army winning battles, for he lost very few battles, you know. He took a wee captive, a little maid. How they took her, I don't know. And she landed in his house. She knew about a man of God in her own country. I wonder now, I might just be speculation, but you remember as a wee boy, he was raised from the dead. Well, he stayed no very far from her. I wonder if she knew about her. Because she spoke with her confidence. She said, if my Lord was with the prophet in Samaria, he would cleanse him from his leprosy. But wait a minute. There's no cure for leprosy. There's only one cure for sin. Christ's cure. And he may have heard about cure after cure, no doubt. And here's another thing he's here. And she was so convinced that he even thought, I'll try it. Try it. You know, the first thing he did, he went to the wrong place. He went to the king. The king could do nothing for him. But he heard about this man of God, and he went to his door, and the man never even answered the door. Eh? I tell you, if I'd known that Naaman was there, I'd been up with a shot. I'd wanted to meet Naaman. Eh? The greatest man in the land! And the man of God had his priorities right now. He said, you tell Naaman to go down to Jordan. Jordan, the river of death. Go down to Jordan and dip 7 times. And he'll be cleansed. And I hear Naaman say, what a nonsense. That dirty river, filthy. They expect me to go down there and dip in Jordan. And then he thinks of 2 rivers in his own country that flow and they're as clear as crystal. This is clear, not dipping them and be cleansed. No. My friend, there's only one way to have your sins forgiven. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And who shall be saved? Naaman, if you're going to be cleansed of your leprosy, it must be Jordan. There's no other place, there's no other way. No wonder it says the man went away in a rage. Eh? He's a short temper, you see. What does the man think he's talking about? Me, with all my medals, and the man I am, the dip in the cross of Jordan. No way. And you know, his friends were good advisors. Listen to what they say. Amen. If he'd asked you to do some great thing, He's not that. Well, the man had been doing great things all his life. The season was great. And I see him go down to the Jordan. It must have been a humbling experience, you know. You know, there's nobody that was ever saved that wasn't humbled. To think that Jesus died for me. The plucked the hair from his chin. The spittle of the Jew and the Gentile was on his face. To strip him and to lash him. He did that for you and for me. And I see Haman now go down to the Jordan. Big as the man is. And I see him out there in the Jordan. 7 times. Maybe just once. Maybe just twice. Quite let's go forever. 7 times. That was the message from the man of God. That's the message from the Bible. Only one day. One way to heaven. I'm glad there's no two or I might have missed it. Only one way. And he comes up the 7th time. You know what it says? His flesh was like that of all the shadows. I wonder what his wife thought when he went home. Mind your big spot. Mind the blemish. Mine are proper and clean and clean. My friend, that's what salvation is. It's cleansed from his leprosy. Cleansed. My friend, it's great to think tonight that you and I are cleansed from our sin. Nothing of us. Nothing of ourselves. But another. A sinner. Who joined him. Jordan, you must face. Jordan, we must come to. One night in December 1969, the fishing fleet left Peterhead. It always left at 12:01. Don't do that now. It didn't know this. Any time I stood in the harbour and waited for the brethren, 12:01 as they moved out into the North Sea. This night, one of the boats moved out, a very stormy, stormy night. 6 of the crew, all believers, all going to heaven. 3 of them were the brother Alec McLean, whom some of you know from Peterhead. A brother called Robbie Strachan. Another brother called Bobby Butters, who was in the Baptist Church, and gloriously saved and going to heaven. As they went out from Peterhead, they were down in the hold, and they were singing the songs of Zion. I used to love to hear them sing, you know. I'm sure that one of them would be, and I've heard them in it often, Jesus, Savior, pilot me, out into that wild sea. And they felt that it was a stormy night, a bad night, a black night. They sang for about an hour. And the young man, Bobby Butters, said to them, I'm going to sing you a song. Here's what he sang that night. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died for my sins to atone. In the darkness, maybe, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. After he was finished, they thought they would go up on deck to see if they could cast the net. They were standing on the net on the deck, and the big wave went right over the boat. And Alec McLean and Bobby Butters were cast into the North Sea. Someone threw a rope, and it came near Alec, and Alec grabbed it out, and he was pulled to safety. As he was being drawn into the boat, he looked back, and he saw his friend Bobby,
He shrunk me down.
Down for the last time. Never saw him again.
He went down into the North Sea with those words upon his lips. I won't have to cross Jordan alone.
My friend, my brother, my sister, we'll come to Jordan one day.
Thank God we won't cross it alone.
We'll put our hand into the hand of God.
And we'll be on the other side.
Solemn point, then.
We must all die.
And as waters put upon the ground, it can't be gathered up again.
Jordan blew wide before us.
You know not how soon it will be.
We're able to say, by the brother Gordon when we come here, is Jordan. There's not a drop of water.
We'll go over to the other side and feed him the time of time.
And we'll never swim again.
We'll never share another tear. And there won't be another sorrow. And there won't be another heartache.
Because in time, we found Christ. And we're ready for Jordan. And we moved over to the other side. So we pray.
Father, we thank you afresh tonight for the gospel message. We thank you for the hope it gives us. We thank you, God, for the great thought that we're going to be in heaven one day, and we'll never go out again, but we'll be there, and we'll be singing thy praises, and we'll worship thee as we've never worshipped thee before. And we thank you, God, for the glory that shines before us. We would all go round the foundation tonight, make sure, our God, that when we come to Jordan, we're ready for the other side. We think of many gospel meetings coming to a close and unsaved have listened to the gospel. We pray for them, our God, that they'll find thy Son as a Saviour. And grant tonight there'll be joy in the presence of angels over sinners repenting. Establish us now with thy richest blessing in our Saviour's worthy name. Amen. Sing one verse only. 268. I wander far away from God. I am coming home. The path of sin. Too long I trod, Lord. I am coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide. Thine arms of love. Lord. I am coming home. First verse only. With the chorus.